You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL Podcast hates your team more than any other.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here. I got a hero. Back from the islands. In the middle of the Pacific. Greg Rosenthal.
That was quite an intro.
Welcome back. How was it?
Well, like our former president, Barack Obama, used to say, you know, I'm in Hawaii in my mind still. I'm just going to bring in that totally chill mental vibe to my podcasting and personal relations for the next year.
I like this. I like this, Greg. We had people Gregging for you while you were gone. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We had a whole pen of Greglets holding down the fort.
I don't think Greglets is really captured. That's too demeaning for the quality of guests that you guys have. The Greglets.
Hey, just be chill.
Okay.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
It lasted 30 seconds. Let's see. What happened while you were gone? I feel like you were gone a long time. You weren't, but it feels that way because you and I had overlapping vacations. Did you know the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson?
I do know that. I hope it works out well for them. I think it'll have a really fun year.
Do you know we went to London a couple times? Oh, your wife moved out.
That has been my fear. You know, I wake up in a cold sweat. I would not be a Hawaiian in my mind if that happened.
Yeah.
Very blessed. What a family.
What a ride life has been for Greg Rosenthal. Mark Sessler not with us today. He'll be back next week. And today's show, good one, good one. It's time to get back into some draft talk. So we have one of the very best on the subject, Eric Edholm. He works for us. He's also our lead draft writer. Did you know that? Our lead draft analyst.
I didn't know that was his title.
On NFL.com.
I was reading Eric Edholm back when he was at PF Weekly, like in the mid-aughts. So he's been in the game a minute. He was at Yahoo for a while, and yeah, now he's with us.
You know, I like that title because if Eric, and you know, that's something that was either negotiated or at some point it was worked out.
He asked for it. We'll ask him about it.
That means Daniel Jeremiah is not the lead draft writer. So just think about that, which is nice. So right away, bonus points for Edholm in a big spot.
It's a good move by him because he's a writer.
Right.
He's now going to be a podcaster.
Right.
Those are two mediums Jeremiah hasn't tried out.
Hasn't
it's
touched.
Like, it's 2023. You got to do more.
You would think Jeremiah, someone that is respected in the industry, he would touch those areas. But totally, you know, just virgin IP.
Just
writing and podcasting.
He's all just about television. That's dinosaur thinking.
Old Hollywood Jeremiah.
Watch out for those cord cutters.
Ooh, look out. All right. Also, you have, Greg, a piece coming out.
Any minute.
Probably, maybe, even by the time this podcast is up. ranking the general managers. I always enjoy this exercise. In fact, I remember having I was disappointment that you kind of pushed this one through legislation and we didn't get to actually really talk about it last year. I was like, no, this is a good piece. Speaking of IP, I like this, ranking the GMs.
This was either, at some point, it was either last year or the year before you got on me for not mentioning. And that's why I had mentioned it multiple times to you, even before I went on vacation.
Yes.
This thing is dropping when I get back.
We're going to hit that as well. But first, let's start by doing just a little bit of news.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
So very stupid, but fun. This is the quietest time of the league year, excepting, of course, like post-draft before training camps.
Well, except post-mini camps, I would say. Like late mid-June through mid-July.
It's a little, besides that, like, it's a little under the radar because you think, oh, the draft is coming up. But, yeah, it was quiet last week. It's been very quiet this week. But there was one big bit of news that just broke as we were about to record. This was reported by
our guy, Rapsheet.
Our guy, Ian Rappaport, that Josh Harris's group, Josh Harris, who I believe owns the Sixers in the NBA, he's a co-owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. A group led by Josh Harris, and that includes billionaire Mitchell Rales and former NBA star and legend Magic Johnson, are nearing a deal to buy the Washington Commanders from Daniel Snyder for just under $6 billion, Greggy. Nothing is final, according to Ian, or has been sent to the league. The bid still needs to be submitted and approved, but this is another major step and maybe finally the end of an era in Washington.
Amazing news for Commandos fans. I mean, amazing.
Commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
Commandos somehow feels pejorative, so we'll give them the Commanders' respect now that they're changing ownership. And for Ian, who does work for the league as well as us, to be able to report this tells me that, yes, nothing is final, but they would not be reporting this, and there's other reporting out there that it's essentially an agreement in principle, unless it was on like the 6-inch line. There's been reporting that Jeff Bezos was not really in the mix and that this bid was the best one. And I don't know if our producer, Gravedigger, picked that drop to start the show. Because of a long-held opinion and thing I've said on this show. Did you, Justin?
That was more about the GM rankings where I thought listeners, like, everyone's going to be like, why is my GM ranked too low?
I already
low?
Forgot about what the drop
was. Yeah, I would have been surprised and impressed. I didn't set that up well. The drop was that we hate your team more than teams. And here and there, over the 10 years of this show, I have often said, every fan base like thinks I hate their team more than the rest.
Right.
And only one of them is right. It's Washington's fans. It's because of their old owner. It's been a disaster. Like, no one has treated an NFL franchise with more mistakes. I mean,
look at the
just lack of care for the fans and the players and the coaches, frankly, over the last 20 years plus than Dan Snyder. And so it's a great day. That's
and
all.
Listen, Washington football fans, they know this better than anyone. But look at the last 20 years under Snyder and the previous 20 years where they were a fixture. They were a beast in the NFC East. They won multiple Super Bowl titles. It was, you know, one of the more exciting, really, like, kind of franchises because of the fan base, which is to the credit of the fans in Washington. I know there have been times where the stadium hasn't been as packed, but who could blame them? I mean, even the facility is not up to par. And you have a situation now where it's going to feel like, as long as everything goes to plan here, if this report turns into a reality, like a total rebirth for the organization and the fans and an excitement level that they haven't had in a long time. And I'm thinking about the New York Mets in baseball, that they went from an ownership that was really underwater and had gotten absolutely buried by the Bernie Madoff scandal, and we're not spending money. They sell to a billionaire who immediately, who is the billionaire? Is anybody owner of the Mets?
Cohen.
Pumps Cohen. In tons of money and resources into the organization, revitalizes things. Now, football's not quite that easy. You can't just spend in the same way.
No, that's what Dan Snyder tried to do. He just was terrible at it for many years.
But just the idea of getting new ownership, and if as long as there's people in charge that know what they're doing, there's still things we need to learn, Greg, about the new ownership. You can't just assume new ownership is going to be better, but they're probably going to be better.
I mean, the 76ers, I think, have been a well-run franchise. Magic Johnson, I think, has rings in literally every sport other than the NFL. I think he mentioned that. That was of the four major U.S. sports. So that's a good sign. And Snyder, he tried to spend. That was part of the reason why things didn't work. I mean, Albert Hainsworth, Deion Sanders, Donovan McNabb, all that. But I think it does show that some of the things we've talked about in terms of workplace culture and harassment, over the last number of years, just as a society, like, does get people out of the paint eventually. I mean, he was suspended by the NFL for a toxic workplace and sexual harassment. That suspension was kind of vague when it was going to end. Tanya Snyder, his wife, was still working as the active owner. But you can draw a pretty clear line between that latest problem for Dan Snyder and him eventually agreeing to sell the team. Now, it's America, where he's not really getting punished. He just sold a thing for an NFL team for almost $6 billion. Like, nothing goes up in value like NFL teams. It's an incredible, incredible investment. Already, the Broncos sale from a year ago looks like a bargain. They were bought for like $1.5 billion less. And so it's not like he's getting pushed out the door. But I think based on everything we know about Snyder, this was the thing he wanted to do most in the world. And he would love to keep owning the team. And completely embarrassing how everything turned
out. This isn't going to end with, Daniel Snyder being destitute. But it is a billionaire boys club. And there's probably, you could argue, in America, there's no better toy to have for a billionaire and a way to flex your success. And if you love sports or even just love, finding success in very public venues in society, owning a sports team, like, so that he loses that. And Jerry Richardson of the Carolina Panthers also had a scandal that involved inappropriate conduct that led swiftly to him losing the Panthers. So, maybe you are seeing progress in a way that 20 years ago would not have happened. In fact, I'm almost certain of it. 20 years ago, these things wouldn't have led to where they're leading now.
Bought the team for $750 million, by the way. So that's a good... It's a good return. It's good. A good ROI. And I don't know if you're into the whole
return on
econ
something.
Talk. But,
And think about it. This group, if it goes through and they get $6 billion, it's like, oh, my God, they paid $6 billion. When they sell in 20 years, it's going to be like $37 billion. You want inflation, bro. And value.
No one was...
Bear hug.
No, you mean you're absolutely right. Yeah. No one was more... like anti-media and was worse handling the media and also was very vindictive against like his former coaches and stuff like that. We don't need to go through all that stuff. But what I mean to say, and also had enemies in terms of politicians in Washington. The reason I bring all this up is I think that can all get better like immediately. I don't know what it's going to mean for Ron Rivera. I think he'll have this year to kind of prove himself to the new ownership group. But in terms of their stadium deal, which has been an issue in part, I think, because the politicians around Washington didn't want to do Dan Snyder any favors and it's just been in gridlock. Now maybe that can be opened up too, and these new owners can get a nice new stadium.
How about that? We shall.
Congrats.
See.
Congrats. If you have a Commanders fan in your life, do you have any?
Do I have? No.
Okay. I've got a couple, and they're huge football fans, and I've never seen a fan base love their team so much and yet hate their team because of the owner so much and just been waiting for this day. They never gave up loyalty of like wanting to love the team. They've just been waiting for this day. And so I know at least my two friends that are both Commanders fans, like, this is like Christmas. This is the best thing that's happened to them as sports fans for two decades. So I am happy for them.
Yes. Now I'm thinking about it. In the early days of NFL media, we had a I wish Mark was here for this, but we had a colleague named Jason Feller, who sadly is no longer with us, and he was a diehard Washington fan. And there was a bar down the street from our old office called Joxer's Daily in Culver City that was a crazy Washington sports bar, and they would have sirens going off in there when there would be touchdowns. This is like 12 years ago now. And just the place packed with burgundy and gold. It's a good fan base that deserves better, and hopefully they'll get it. In other news, speaking of fan bases that deserve better, the Jets are still trying to get Aaron Rodgers on their team. It's an ongoing process. It's I wouldn't say, as a Jets fan, I'm nervous about it, but at the same time, like, the longer this goes on, the more it's just like, all right, come on. What's up? Is there an issue? I don't think so. I mean, Joe Douglas was on some fan event or something last week, and he publicly saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be on the team, Aaron Rodgers. But then you see a report from Yahoo Sports NFL guy Charles Robinson, who was on the Wild and Tausch podcast. Hope I got that right. Tausch.
Well, that's Mark Tauscher.
Bang.
And Jason Wilde, I believe.
Not Wild?
I always thought it was Wilde.
Double miss. Can you get on that one, Gravedigger?
I'll look into it.
Another long time beat guy. He was in some ways the original McAfee, because he had Aaron Rodgers doing a weekly spot on his radio show for years in Green Bay.
So either Wild and Tausch or Wildy and Tausch Tasher.
Wildy, I think.
ESPN Radio shared some insight into the trade talks on that program. He reported that the Packers' asking price for Rodgers is a second-round pick in 2023. Jets have two of those. And a straight first-round pick in 2024. Green Bay wants a first-round pick next year. No questions asked. Now, I have a question, and there's a little follow-up to this involving Jets ownership, which always makes me a little bit nervous. But didn't Mark Murphy come out and say to the media a couple weeks ago at the owners' meetings that they're not looking for a first-round pick, necessarily?
That's what he said.
Doesn't that clash with this report?
Well, I think the word necessarily and then maybe the difference between a 2024 first-round pick, maybe it's a conditional. It sounds like there's going to be conditions on them sending a pick back if Rodgers retires after a year, but it does clash a little bit. I'm trying to find where the gray area would be.
Yeah, and then you have the... Because I want Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, and we'll get into him a little bit later on the show, to be the guy driving the boat. But you always wonder, where's Woody Johnson, the Jets owner? And Robinson said that the parties had the parameters of a deal in place initially. But after Rodgers said I was 90% retired thing on the McAfee show, Woody Johnson, this is a quote from a Yahoo write-up of the interview, got scared to spend high draft capital on him. That would explain why the Packers don't want to take less. Okay, so I don't know if that's true, but if it's true, that gives a little insight into this. And yes, that would inject a little bit of nerves to me as a Jets fan that Woody is the one holding this up over football matters, which I think he needs to be deferring to his general manager.
Well, it's also fascinating to me that the McAfee appearance would have had a material difference on the negotiations.
Does it surprise you? Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me knowing the parties involved.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, too, when you hear that. I agree. You need to have some conditions for if he's going to retire soon, or maybe that would make you think a little differently than when you just sat down face-to-face with him. No one's worried about this. It totally makes sense to me that the deal would happen during the draft, because that's when you get your absolute last case brass tacks offers, and it'll probably be day two of the draft. You'll have to even wait, I think, Dan, through day one, because that's when the picks for this year's draft, where the Packers would actually have to take it. You have to wait till Friday, and it's fine. It's fine. I actually appreciate the lack of news that's been on this story. I think everyone's being adults here. It's like, this is just how it goes. We cover the NFL every day, so things pop up, but it's fine. It'll happen.
I was proud of the media cycle when one of the Boomer and Carton, I think it is. No, Carton is now on a different show. Evan Roberts on WFAN floated something about the Niners, like, getting in on Aaron Rodgers, and everybody's like, no. go away. That's not an actual story. And at this point, it's not. Let's see if they can iron things out. Finally in the news, real quick here, Devin White, linebacker of the Bucks. He has been on an all-pro team, second team. He's been a pro bowler. And now he wants out of Tampa Bay, per Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He's frustrated with extension talks. So, Greggy, the Bucks, who some people thought were going to go in full tear-down mode after Tom Brady walked away, a lot of their veteran core is coming back. White was supposed to be among that group. This doesn't mean he's actually leaving, but he's expressing displeasure with the contract process.
He's, quote, fed up, according to ESPN's Jenna Lane.
I am too. Gravedigger.
They're not going to do anything, by all accounts. That they have no interest in trading him. They have him under contract this year on a fifth-year option for $11.7 million, which is you know, pretty good for an off-ball linebacker. He's a very difficult guy to evaluate. He was the same guy that Todd Bowles was kind of burying publicly during last year for freelancing little bit. He's had the all-pro teams, but if you trust the PFF grading, he's a very boom-or-bust player who gives up a lot of makes a lot of big plays.
That's strong.
But if they don't want to trade him, they're not going to trade him, and I don't think they're going to trade him.
Yes, he grades out poorly on PFF despite the accolades. Do we have any on the ESPN program?
We're looking into it. I'll get back to you. Yes, it's not as easy as I expected.
I mean, I feel reasonably confident.
Right.
This is a man,
right?
Jason Wilde, who I used to read quite a bit when I was doing those brick by brick posts on RotoWorld.
We have confirmation. It is Wilde.
Yeah.
What about?
And I believe I've been on the program way back in the day.
Yep. Okay.
Way back in the day.
All right.
Well, you should definitely know then, Greg.
It was like 15 years. It was different shows.
I just blanked out. Sure. Greg was just name checking like 17 people, and I just glazed over for a bit there. You know them. That's great.
That's
Greg.
What I know. I'm back. Wilde get Dan to glaze over.
And Tausch. All right, here we go. That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break and then talk to our new buddy, Eric Edholm.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Our guest joining us now, and we established this at the top of the show, the lead NFL draft writer for NFL media and its properties. He is Eric Edholm.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I mean, usually at this point of the draft season, I'm pulling out my hair and losing sleep and all that. I've been more dialed in this year, more ready for draft the draft season, I guess, or the draft to come up than I can remember in recent years. So
why is that? Why is that?
I don't know.
Is it this class? There's something about this class that makes you feel more at peace?
Is it the lead draft analyst title that you somehow
It's the title. Let's just get it out there. It really is. Before they put lead in there, I was just feeling a little off. I don't know.
What about Jeremiah? Because, you know, I call him the wholesome assassin because he presents himself as this good guy. Right. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a text in your phone or an email, a little bit like a back off type vibe from Jeremiah.
Yeah. I have some threatening texts that I'm just storing just in case I need to use as collateral for anything. But I have a few of my own. I grew up in Boston. You know, I got a little salt in my veins. So,
well, I want to start here, Eric, as we get in and look ahead. The draft is 2 weeks from tonight, actually. And I'm curious, what is the piece of – we'll start kind of like in a broad sense. What is the piece of draft board conventional wisdom that's kind of been driving you nuts during this process this year?
I think it's – good question. I think it's probably more apropos this year because we have a running back who, you know, regardless of position, if you just ask people who their favorite talents are overall, you know, Bijan Robinson deserves to be, I think, pretty high on that list. But the whole question over where running backs should and shall never be drafted and all that stuff. And maybe it's an overreaction to a guy like Saquon Barkley going second and still being a good player. And most of us recognizing that, okay, second's pretty rich for that position, but there's a happy medium, I think, where players of that ilk can also be respected in and of themselves and deserve to go high in drafts. They're not, you know, high like top five, but I think bypassing him just because he plays a certain position is a little bit short-sighted. So I don't know that debate. I don't know where you guys fall exactly on that spectrum, but good players tend to help football teams out. That's just my bottom line right there.
I hate to give Jeremiah a pop, but I do agree with his theory that especially if you're a team that feels like you're a piece away, you don't take a running back high if you're a rebuilding team. But if you're a team that wants that final piece, I mean, is Robinson – is he like that dude? Is he at Barkley's level coming out? Or I remember when Adrian Peterson came out years ago.
I think he's
at a
higher level.
Is this like one of those special type talents?
I think so. I mean, I think
somebody's
got to
get him in the first. Then
I know. I'm all for it. I mean, he's in my top five again, regardless of position. But I recognize he's not going in the top five. I don't think. Right? It would be a shock. Chris Ballard already has a running back. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think if you are that team that feels like, and yet out of one corner of my mouth, I'll also argue, I don't think the Eagles should draft him unless it's, you know, lower than the 10th pick or something like that. Cause I think they can still do better with that pick in certain ways, as far as the immediate need, but because they have such a good, in my opinion, run blocking group, you can put a Boston Scott in there. You can put a Kenneth Gainwell in there and do pretty well for yourself. You know, Miles Sanders is a good player, but he's not, I don't think he's a true difference maker or anything like that. So they let him go and you can find another guy of similar quality, in my opinion. So maybe for a team that doesn't quite have the stout offensive line up front, but is in that situation. I know that limits our list a little, but maybe that's the team you start pegging Robinson to.
I don't think 10 is too early. I mean, if he's a Hall of Fame type of player, and to me, just watching him, my very amateur eyes feel like he's an even better prospect than Saquon coming out. Like in terms of his natural movement skills, I think he's just like a little bit smoother, that he could be up there with the greats. And then what are we talking about here? Of course, that's worth drafting anywhere in the top 10. And I'm not saying that you would want to take him 2 overall, but if you felt like confident and you just didn't like the people around you, just for sake of argument, here's some number 2 overall picks in the last decade alone. Not like not like I think Bijan Robinson should go 2, but you have him 2, so that's just the number I was thinking of. Zach Wilson, Saquon, that's why it's on my mind. Mitchell Trubisky, Marcus Mariota, Greg Robinson, Luke Joeckel. I mean, it's like, what are we talking about here? This whole, like, the process has to be a certain way because certain positions have to be taken first. The whole reason why running backs stopped getting taken first, other than the fact that it was like Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams and who else was in that draft in the top five of that draft, where it just got a little out of control, is that positional value, you know, matters. But it doesn't, like, you have to have exceptions for every rule, and you can't be that hard and fast. If he's a great player, he deserves to go in the top 15, and I think he will. I think he'll. I think he might go as high as 10 to the Eagles.
If he's LaDainian Tomlinson, right.
Right, what are we talking about?
Why are we passing on him, right, just because he's a running back? I mean, it's tricky with tight ends, too, but, yeah, I think running back has got way more attention because of this debate.
So I was thinking, like, what players – make Eric Edholm stay up at night. You know, like you're worried about the evaluation. You're worried about where he's going to go. You're worried if you're right or wrong about this player, even despite all the work that you've put in. Like, which player, what are some players, or give me one to start that keeps you up at night.
Two, and this is I'm expecting a lot of hate mail from Tennessee folks, but I have my reservations with Jalin Hyatt and to a lesser degree Hendon Hooker because of the offense in which they're used. Right, I mean Josh Heupel. I'm not anti Josh Heupel, not anti Vols. Been to a game there; it's a great place. You know, I love Rocky Top. Right, but I think there's reasonable suspicion about that kind of offense and what those players are when they come into the league, as far as their mental preparedness and things like that, how it translates and everything else. You know, I mean, like, I guess he gets credit for Sam Bradford at Oklahoma, Landry Jones. I mean, other than that, Drew Locke is the other top quarterback that he's developed. So, you know, you can see it's a little bit of a pattern there. And the same thing with receivers as well. I mean, I think Gabe Davis would probably be, you know, he had a couple years with him at UCF, but Jamon Moore, you know, Trey Nixon, Velus Jones last year. I mean, you know, it's not the most illustrious group of all time in terms of, you know, early to mid-round picks translating to the NFL. Plus, with Hooker, you've got the injury and the age. I mean, he's got an ACL. He's 25 years old. So as much as I like him when I watch him, I think to myself, he's got a few strikes against him. And Hyatt, kind of a one-trick pony. So he's a speed guy who reminds me way too much of Will Fuller to be comfortable with. So with both guys, I had to kind of water it down a little bit to where I'll take the scrutiny for having them lower than where they're probably going to be drafted, because I think there are enough pitfalls with each of them. And, you know, and Jalen Carter's a big one. Quentin Johnston from TCU, I get a little nervous about because of the drops. And, you know, he could be Mike Williams or he could be Kevin White. You know, I mean, that's kind of where I fall on some of these guys.
Man, Will Fuller. I forgot about Will Fuller.
It's easy to forget.
He just dropped off the radar. On the subject of the wide receivers, because another bit of conventional wisdom is like, this is not the year to find a superstar wide receiver.
Right.
And yet, like, nothing's money in the bank when it comes to drafting, but in the NFL in recent years, it feels like these wide receivers, it's becoming safer and safer bets. Is there somebody that could actually be a superstar and, again, buck conventional wisdom and be that dude? I know you have JSN from Ohio State there in your top 10, so I guess he would be sensible. Do you think he could be a guy that's like a Pro Bowl year one talent?
Year one, I don't know. But then again, I mean, I think when I saw him peak – performance prior to last season when he only, you know, played like three games or whatever, you know, I would have said he's a better player than Garrett Wilson. I mean, I would have just said, if I have to choose between the two of them and I only get one, I think I'm taking Jaxon Smith-Njigba. A little bit longer, maybe not quite as fast, but he's got elite short area quickness, even compared to a guy like Garrett Wilson, who's, you know, thrives in that area as well. So, you know, I've heard the slot only argument. I mean, I don't see it just because he, you know, isn't a blazer. I think he can win on the outside. I mean, he could be, you know, a beautiful Cooper Kupp sort of guy, you know, that type of performer. Are we complaining about Kupp speed? No, we're saying he's an elite route runner with great change of direction skills, outstanding hands. I think that's what he is. If there's a guy that I like, you know, not quite as much because of the size concerns, but I'm a bigger Zay Flowers fan than other people might be. I mean, you know, at 5'9", 182 with short arms, I get the concerns, right? But It's a big name. I'm ready to. I'm not scared. I see some Antonio Brown in his game. Mm. I really, really think he has some of that in him. And as you guys know, Brown didn't test great. He didn't produce at an elite level in college. He just had this skill set that wasn't fully, you know, developed and put it all together in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think the receiver thing's strange in this draft, that there's this idea, well, if you're looking for the top type of guys, this is not the draft for you. And yet I'm with you. To me, Smith and Jigba has incredible upside and ceiling. Cooper Kupp is the name that he reminds you of. And I look at Addison and I don't see why he's in such a different tier of prospect than Olave and Garrett Wilson going out. You have him a little lower. You have him down at 28, but just in terms of everything but his size, and yes, he's like he's a slight guy, but his movement, and you can just see those routes working at the pro level. And then Quentin Johnson, who I have less of a feel on, but he's a huge guy, and his ceiling at least is high. And I like Cedric Tillman from Tennessee too. So receivers have come into the league so good lately. I don't see the top of this class is like miles different from a year ago, but that's why I don't get paid to be the draft analyst, like big lead draft analyst, Eric Edholm.
Yeah. I mean, the lead part kind of separates us a little bit, I guess.
What do you think of Schrager? Do you respect Schrager in his draft?
Right. Cause he does other stuff throughout the year, but then he swoops in and he's a draft guy. You have respect for those guys.
I've only been here a little while, guys. I don't want to start trashing everybody in the company.
Yeah, just Jeremiah's safe.
Yeah.
Have me on next week. And we'll
Schrager, you know, on Good Morning Football, of course, the peacemaker swoops in. He put out his if you know list.
Okay.
You know, how about that? You know, take that as you will. But his five if you know list: Nolan Smith, Edge Georgia, Pitt tackle. Yep. Kalea Cansey, Tyreek Stevenson, corner at Miami. Christian Gonzalez, corner Oregon, and Emmanuel Forbes, corner Mississippi State. Stevenson is the guy of that list that really jumps out to you?
Well, I have him. I don't know. I like him a lot, and I think he's being kind of undersold a little bit. You know, he plays zone, off man, press man. I mean, you know, he's not perfect, but I think athletically and just mental toughness wise, he's gonna fit in really well. I just a little surprised. It's a deep corner class. I mean, there's some good names. You mentioned Gonzalez on Peter's list there. He's gonna go high. Devin Witherspoon ran well the other day. He's gonna go high. Joey Porter Jr. We have the name value and the athlete. So it's a loaded position. In fact, Manuel Forbes also on that list too. A fascinating debate because he's a 166 pound, you know, over 6 foot too. This is not just like a slot corner. I mean, this is a guy who lined up outside, 6 pick-sixes in his career, fearless out there. I think if you like Sauce Gardner's tape, you're going to like his tape too. You know, there's a little freelancing, but boy, he does the job for me. The question is, if you have toothpick ankles and that small a frame, are you going to survive in the NFL?
Well, he's unprecedented. He's on my I tried to guess who would be on your make at home stay up at night, or maybe who would make me stay up at night list.
Yeah.
And Forbes was at the top, 166 pounds as like a cornerback. If you look at, you know how they have the, you know, percentage in terms of other prospects and they show the three cone,
right?
He's in the 87th percentile, and, you know, arm length, he's in the 50th. percentile, and this and that. For weight, he's in the 1 percentile, and that's only because they can't put zero mathematically. There's literally never been a cornerback that tall and that light, and yet when you watch him, if you ignored that, and you shouldn't, because he probably will get overpowered in certain matchups, but you're going to have some guys to cover these other lightweight wide receiver, so it kind of makes sense to me that the whole game is getting lighter, and he would keep me up at night, but he seems like he's like an incredibly high ceiling guy. It's just everyone's going to be afraid that he's 166 pounds.
That you boiled it down perfectly there. I mean, that's exactly kind of how you the production is off the charts good. It really is that exciting. You know, he's a little on the older side. He'll be 23, I want to say, by the end of the season. So, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, limitation as far as how much more, you know, upside and growth and development he has. But still, I mean, I see a guy who's got rare instincts. I think he's a first-round pick now. I think, you know, I was sort of putting him in that early second-round range, but I think he's going to go in the first. I think Tyreek Stevenson should be a second-round pick, but we'll see. I don't know exactly where he's going to go. But Forbes is the one who I think is causing people to kind of have some serious debates. We had Cordell Flott last year go in the third round. He was like 6'1", 175. So statistically, I want to say height and weight wise, that's the closest comp we've had in recent years. Otherwise, you got to go back a long ways to find somebody with, you know, these spindly dimensions like he has.
All right. Last thing I have for you, Eric. Connor Orr was on our program earlier this week, and he had done some digging. Now, it's an exclusive that is dropping on SI.com later this week.
It's up. It's there.
Oh, it's up. Okay.
Go check it out, everyone.
All right. I'm going to ask Mate. We're just going to say, as the lead writer, if he knows. Like, he, Connor, using Ancestry.com, had identified a draft prospect that actually had Norse god blood, which feels like a nice attribute that you would put in as a bullet in the draft profile. Do you know who that might be?
I'm trying to think. Are there any, like, Scandinavians who
are... Is it Cody Mock?
No, I mean
that's too on the nose, I think. Yeah, that would be like the obvious answer. That makes sense. Ah, geez. Tyler Van Ness. He has got that kind of square jaw and like the Iceman from Top Gun haircut.
All right, Tyler Ness, final answer?
That's all I got.
All right, what do you got, Justin?
Should I spoil it? I feel like our listeners should do Connor a favor.
They're going to go read it. They will. Trust me. It's Connor's
work. I said
work.
Tyler Van Ness. Lucas Van Ness. Sorry.
Lucas Van Ness. Like,
yeah. That's all I got.
It is Holton Allers.
Oh,
he's a literal descendant of Viking legend Ragnar Lothbrok. And that's not Minnesota Vikings legend Ragnar.
That's real Vikings.
That's the Ragnar.
It's
that's
the Vikings that have titles.
The original Ragnar. I mean, those
Vikings had rings.
This is
those weren't. It was a tough world back then. You know, you don't want to judge by today's standards, but not someone you want to bring home to your.
I just keep them away from the women and children in general. Anyway,
we talk about NFL bloodlines. I mean, I'd rather have the Norse god bloodlines myself.
I don't know. I'd rather have Joey Porter. Just saying.
Probably true. Yes.
Anything else?
I'm going to give you just a very quick rapid fire. Give me like a couple on the other players that I think would keep me up at night. Okay.
Okay.
Rapid fire. Brian Branch. Is he closer to Derwin James, or is he closer to like the do it all thing that NFL teams fall in love with and then doesn't work out when you draft him really high?
Closer to the latter. The athletic testing, you know, put a limit on his appeal, but he's so smart. So I think it's more the latter, the do-it-all guy who's, you know, jack of all trades, and you're glad you have him, but he's not. I don't think he's special athletically.
Will, where are you on the Will Levis discourse? I feel like now he's been pushed down so far and,
incredible body
by the media that now it's actually the backlash of the backlash is here, and everyone's now like, actually, Will Levis is bad.
Settle it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm pro Levis to a degree, right? He's got his warts, and last year didn't do him any favors in a lot of ways. But man, you look what he did with Liam Cohen in 2021, who they brought back as OC. I mean, that's a strange, but I think good move for Kentucky. They just didn't have any talent last year. He had two injuries he played through. If you watch the 2021 tape, there's a lot of appealing stuff. I also hear from a lot of Penn State fans who are like, no way that dude should be in the draft, you know, or in the first 150 picks. I think there's too much of that bias going on out there too. But I like the guy to a degree for sure.
Okay,
I do have one more. Do the Panthers regret it forever if they pass on CJ Stroud?
Regret it forever? No, because Bryce Young could be special. Okay. He just has so many. The margin for error is small with that arm, that size, and everything else. I just feel like he's going to be great, but. Will he play 17 games every year? That's my biggest worry.
We'll get into all these questions. We still got about a week and a half of draft build up to go. But I as we get closer, I can't quite buy that Jalen Carter, who everyone sort of recognizes as the best player in the draft, is going to go anywhere but very close to the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see. It might require ownership approval, but I hear you.
Don't He's they special. All? Don't they all at that I point? Am. I guess quarterbacks and like. Situations like Jalen Carter.
Eric, you've said it all. Thank you very much. Continue to track everything Eric does on NFL.com. And, buddy, we enjoyed having you. Thank you. And put Pleasure's Dale Murphy mine. In the hall. And
yeah,
Donnie.
That's right, baby.
How about Let's this? Go. Don Let's... Mattingly and Dale Murphy going in the same class, and you and I go to Cooperstown together.
Absolutely. You kidding me? I'm down, man. You let me know.
All right. There he is.
It's like, sorry, honey. I'm going with Dan Hansis to Cooperstown. Who?
Yeah, I'm just going with a fellow, like, middle-aged guy on a private trip to upstate New York. Don't worry about it.
You paint it like that. I don't know if I'll be able to make it. I'm sorry, man.
Damn it. You see, Greg? You ruined everything. All right. Go ahead. All right. Have a good one.
See you, Eric.
Take it easy.
Good stuff. Like at home. I like at home. I also, two takeaways. The Texans, who we made so much of, and rightfully so, winning that stupid game at the end of the season that allowed the Bears to take number one pick. In some ways, like, if they are indeed going to take a quarterback, which I think they will, they're kind of like, chill. They're like, we don't have to freak out about this. If they're like caught in between on the quarterbacks, we'll take the other guy. And it's like, no stress on us.
Well, we'll never know. We'll never know.
I'm just saying that's potentially a possibility.
They also might be the opposite of, like,
right.
We want to trade out, or we're not even going to take a quarterback because we like Bryce Young so much more than Stroud. There has been that thought bubbling up, although it's hard to say. It's just other personnel people talking. That, like, the Texans might take someone else number two, like Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, and then trade back up to take, like, a Will Levis or Richardson or something. Who knows?
And my other thought out of that conversation, were you attempting to retroactively cancel Vikings there? Like the old ones?
No, I was saying, you know, you can't judge them by today's standards,
right,
and whatnot.
Right.
But also, like, you probably, you know, wouldn't want to have crossed paths with Ragnar Lothbrok. That's all.
No, probably not.
You wouldn't want your daughter meeting Ragnar.
No. Certainly not. All right. Let's take a break and do some GM talk. Keep him away from my girl.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, we are back. Let's get into it, Greg. You have an article going up on NFL.com ranking the GMs. I like this because you know, the GMs, let's rank coaches, let's rank teams. You rank GMs, it just feels more personal. It feels like, I feel like the GMs, especially when it's going up on NFL.com, I feel like the GMs are checking this one out.
Yeah, I've gotten some response over the years. And everyone is trying to keep relationships with front offices and whatnot. But luckily, that's not a concern for me. I'm a jerk. And don't really have relationships with them.
So there you go. You can call it as you see it, because they have.
Why,
you know,
does it feel more
no relationships?
I think it's because they seem more like you could almost imagine being one of them. Whereas, you know, they should have the tables turned on them. All they're doing is making up big boards of players and ranking them and talking about their butts and stuff.
Mm.
Let's turn the table on the GMs.
But did you ever think, like, we never know. You're still a relatively young man, like. Who knows? What if you did want to, at some point, your career transitioned into getting a front office opportunity?
No, I'm good.
Listen, you were ready to walk and become Lamar Jackson's personal assistant.
You proposed that,
like,
idea.
At the drop of a dime, you're like, yes, I'll take the job.
I mean, that seemed more rewarding, the hours. You know, I've got a young family. We're really in our prime. I was thinking of that, you know, in Hawaii. Like, we got to appreciate these times. These kids, they're not too young.
Right.
They're not too old. We're a nice unit. You got to appreciate that. Can I do that while being Jason Light's assistant for 23 hours a day? I don't think so.
All right. So you're just saying the Lamar Jackson gig would be very kind of low stakes and low effort necessary for a nice paycheck potentially?
I don't know. Yeah, that could do it.
He could be a tyrant. You
Plus,
never
I'm
know.
Happy. We have a podcast. We've built this into something. We're not going to build an NFL team as successful as this podcast.
All right, I like that. Let's get to it. I overall think you did strong to quite strong work on this. I have. Unfortunately, I don't have too many quibbles, which is a testament to the effort. So let's go through it, which did I mention I thought was strong?
Okay.
To quite strong.
I don't deal well with praise. I feel better when you come
Here on. Is the top 10. I'm not perfectly on board, but here we go. Howie Roseman, 1. Brett Veach.
Howie, motherfucker.
Brett Veach, 2. Duke Tobin of the Bengals. Let me just, in case there are some people that aren't as diehard in terms of knowing the personnel in the front office, Brett Veach, Chiefs general manager, who, what a ride, what a rocket ride, Greggy, from being mocked by Greg Rosenthal himself a few years back to number 2 on the GM rankings, the Chiefs winning a Super
Bowl.
That
was many years back, yes.
2 Super Bowls in 4 years. We'll do that. Duke Tobin of the Bengals, 3. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Interesting you give him the co-power title. How do you decide who gets that co-slash? Well, the Bills got it at 4. Lynch and Shanahan, same deal. 5, but you have the GM first there. Good. 6, Les Snead, Sean McVay, slash again. Interesting. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, no slash. Just Brad Holmes, 7, Detroit Lions. Goody. Now, Goody, I would think there would be a slash Mark Murphy there. But no.
Okay. He's not making the big personnel.
Okay. Okay. 8, John Schneider, Seahawks, 9.
He probably should have a slash. They had a slash in previous years.
Pete Carroll?
Yeah,
give him a slash. And Jera at 10. Again, I like the placement. Which one was the most difficult for you to place of this group?
Well, the Rams, because of how do you evaluate what's happened to them. I didn't want to punish them too much before seeing how this season goes. I didn't want to pre-punish. But you look at what's happened over the last year. I think the biggest problem was those contracts they gave out, which didn't give them a lot of flexibility immediately to Donald, Stafford, and Cup, and how many guarantees were in that. But I also wanted to recognize it was a 5-year run of the most wins in the league other than Kansas City for the Rams. So it wasn't just this tiny little window. It was a 6-year run before last year. And so I didn't want to kill them too hard, but it was tough. There was a big drop off after the top 5. I also was, you know, wondering, is that too high for Duke Tobin? The Bengals, but I give them a little extra credit for as our friend Solomon Wilcott's not really a friend, but someone I respect.
What
he said about Marvin Lewis raising the Titanic in Cincinnati.
I appreciate the hyperlink here. I appreciate
it. I give Duke Tobin a little bit of extra credit for doing it in Cincinnati, maybe without as many resources. And if you look at his hit rate on the free agents that they brought in, like DJ Reader and Awuzie and Trey Hendrickson, and then the draft, and I like the Orlando Brown move, and they have a number that they go to, and they stick with it, I think they've done a great job.
Yeah, this is where... And trust me, as somebody who does the power rankings, this is not a shot against the exercise. Sometimes it's all a little bit silly because it's like,
sure,
Duke Tobin, yeah, he's done a good job. But the fact they got Joe Burrow, who was a no-brainer number 1 overall pick at QB, who changed the organization. So you don't really – and they got the number 1 pick because they were dreadful the year before. It's Burrow who reset the organization more than Duke Tobin. But at the same time, he did have to turn in the draft card.
Well, he also made lots of good moves around him.
Sure.
He gets a little extra pop for doing it 2 different times. He had a very talented team under Andy Dalton. I said at the top, I'm ranking this mostly on what position they're in now, but you get some credit of what you've done over over time. And just all the moves are smart.
Sensible.
They make sense. Like
yes.
Brett Veach, like he gets credit for drafting Mahomes. But he also gets credit for not being afraid to move on from big names like Orlando Brown,
right.
Matthew, and Frank Clark. And the offensive line overhaul kind of has gotten overlooked. Remember, their offensive line stinks. He does that overhaul in 21, especially on the interior. It leads to a title the very next year. The other one I wasn't sure what to do with was John Schneider, who was like at an all-time low a year ago right now. And maybe he should even be higher. I don't know if a GM's ever had a better month and a half than John Schneider trading Russell Wilson for all those draft picks at the exact perfect time into one of the best draft classes of the last 5 or 6 years. Two starting tackles, Tariq Woolen, the runner-up for Rookie of the Year, Ken Walker, who could have been in the mix for Rookie of the Year, and then two other pretty good players, Boye Mafe and Kobe Bryant. That's six players in one draft. That reminds me of that Saints draft back in 2017 or 18, which they lived off for years. I mean, the Jets and Joe Douglas, and we can get to them. Yeah, they drafted two rookies of the year, but I'd even take the Seahawks draft maybe over them. They're close.
They nailed the draft, and like you said, the Wilson trade was the move of the decade, potentially. Real quick before we go, I will actually take a quibble. I think Veach should be number one.
Maybe.
Because, and you did make note of it in your write-up, that they won the Super Bowl last year, and Mahomes, they have Mahomes, so how much credit? Well, yeah. He wasn't the no-brainer number one pick. They went and they targeted Mahomes and got him when other
teams. Veach was the key guy in that by all accounts.
So Veach will get forever credit for that. Like the idea, Tyreek Hill is maybe the greatest playmaker at wide receiver of the last, 10, 20 years. Like he is that level. To trade him and kind of retool the roster and then also win the Super Bowl, I think, and beating Howie Roseman's Eagles to do it, I believe he should be number one for that reason. But I think Roseman deserves a top two spot for sure.
No one brings in veterans like Roseman. I mean, Hassan Reddick, Bradberry, Gardner Johnson, none of those guys were on the team a year ago. Even Darius Slay a couple years ago, that trade. They do a nice job in the draft planning ahead. They have all these starters that are set up, Jordan Davis and Juergens and N'Kobe Dean, that are going to fill in spots this year. They're always good playing now and later. But yeah, there's a big gap between those two. I you asked who I struggled the most. It was actually Brad Holmes. I wasn't sure how to put the Lions because he's done everything absolutely perfect. It's hard to make the Lions into such a fun, relevant, talented team in 2 years. So he's like rebuilding 101. That said, if you go back and look at like executives of the year previously, like Sporting News has an award. Here's some winners over the last decade. Ryan Pace.
Ego.
Dave Gettleman with the Panthers.
Ego.
Reggie McKenzie won the award once. The Raiders. Ryan Grigson. So like
Mike Maccagnan won one.
Right. My point there is kind of like the easy part is getting from the two wins to the like eight wins, and now you're frisky.
Yes.
And then everyone gives you a lot of pop.
GC.
So that's sort of where Brad Helms is at now. But
Because you need to kind of build off that initial making moves that are kind of make sense. Goody's too high.
Yes.
Goody's too high.
Doesn't get any better than this. My
Goody's
God.
Too high?
I think Goody, on some level, squandered the end of the Aaron Rodgers era.
He's number eight, right?
Yeah, you have him at eight here. Because I do think that he didn't give Rodgers the roster in terms of playmakers that he needed last year. And I can't look past that. I think it really dinged him. Now, Watson was a hit, but, he was a rookie who developed late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
The move to move on from Adams to not be able to land Darren Waller, although I don't know where Waller is at headwise, whether he would have made a difference with the Packers. I just think him for last year's disappointment to the point where maybe it would take him out of the top 10, but not like a major free fall. So I don't have a major
free fall. I've always rated him higher and get pushback on that, especially from Packers fans who don't like him as much as I seem to. His drafts have been good. They haven't spent any in free agency this year, but previously their targeted free agents have been really good. I guess I think it's the GM's job to just keep him in the mix, get him close every year. He did a good job with the LaFleur hire. I hear you, though.
Jared 10, I'm cool with. Belichick, I see. I know it was difficult for you, and you feel like this is enough of a punishment to drop him out of the top 10. I think you've had him at number one in the past and always high up in the rankings. But
they're just such a. They're a mid. They're mid.
What? Why is he not lower than 11 at this point?
Did you watch the game on Monday?
Like, did you watch the games the last 3 years now? What keeps him knocking on the door of the top 10 other than name value?
Ooh, you know, their drafts haven't been bad the last 2 years. They've gotten three good starters, I would say, out of both, if you count Mac Jones as a good starter. We'll see.
That's,
I think,
a tough
he's a
one,
pretty
man.
Good pick. Their spending, it's hard to know how to separate Belichick, the coach, from the front office, but they, like, you know, their defense, they make a lot of production out of questionable players. So do you give that credit to Belichick, the coach, or do you give that credit to Belichick, the guy who's bringing in these low-cost players? They're very middle of the pack. 11 feels middle of the pack, but I guess you could knock them below, like, Telesco and DaCosta.
Sure.
This group is all close to me, but they it's not like they've been bad. They're just mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, they've made the playoff once in the three post-Brady years. The year they did make it, they got just – that defense got absolutely bombed out by the Bills late in the season and then in the playoffs. And then, you know, last year was kind of, let's face it, a disaster. But, you know, do you – the head – or the coaching staff decisions that he made, that's more Belichick the coach than the GM. So you got to kind of separate that. So not killing it, but I would maybe put him around 13 or so.
Okay.
No big deal. You got Mickey Loomis. Let's see. Is this 14?
He's 14.
He's 14. Let me just go through the rest of the ones that are eligible here. Because some guys aren't eligible until they have a couple years under their belt. You got Telesco at 12 of the Chargers, DaCosta of the Ravens at 13. That's kind of a tough one to judge right now. Loomis of the Saints at 14. Chris Greer of the Dolphins at 15. Joe D of the Jets at 16.
He was one of the toughest.
He's
ones
a tough
to
one.
Rank. They're 13-37 in his first three seasons.
It's not good.
It's pretty rough.
It's not good at all.
Just to look at that. But on paper, they seem amazing other than his quarterback decision, which was a fiasco.
Right.
Maybe other teams would have made it. Supposedly the Eagles were trying to trade up for Zach Wilson. It's like sometimes you just get lucky or unlucky. But I couldn't give him too much credit. I thought that was splitting the
difference.
I
think that's fair. I think 16 is totally fair. As I've said multiple times on this show, he is been a 235 hitter with 44 home runs. Like, and if you could deal with the batting average being low, but the hits being meaningful and important, then it works. But like I said, if the Rodgers deal doesn't turn into what Jets fans hope it will turn into, he's going to be gone. Like, I think Douglas will be gone, and I think Saul will be gone. There's so much riding on this year because 13-37, he inherited wreckage.
Yes.
And really has built up this roster, as we've talked about.
It looks pretty good. I was tempted to put him higher than that, but then you're getting with guys who have done it before.
Now, if they go 11-6 or win a playoff game, I think he would deserve to be a top 10 guy because he did. He showed that he built it into something tangible in their playoff team again, but they're not there yet. They have to do it. So I think that's fair. You have Jason Light of the Bucks at 17, Chris Ballard of the Colts at 18. Interesting. Andrew Berry of the Browns at 19. This one I would have a little pushback on as well. Now, I know the Deshaun Watson trade you're not a fan of. Nobody was really a fan of it, and the subsequent contract that Berry was involved with handing to Watson has turned the league upside down and messed things up for a lot of people. But Berry, I think the Browns have, although they had a down year last year, I think he continues to make overall strong moves. And if the quarterback move hits, I think they're a power player in the AFC. So I think maybe Berry, based on his track record of the last 3 or 4 years, should be higher.
Look, he's been in the job officially for 3 years. The third year is when you're supposed to really make a move. In years 2 and 3 of his tenure, they were 8-9 and 7-10. The 1 year that they had a lot of success when he was the GM was mostly with the players that were already there. So their record is mediocre. The Watson trade, if you take out all the off-field stuff, was a fiasco last year. He was a disaster. I mean, that was you can keep saying, like, okay, we got to wait till next year. It's like, okay, but you gave all that up.
It's a fiasco because of the off-the-field stuff.
But it was a fiasco because of the on-the-field stuff that he was so bad. He was one
he
of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
He struggled. In like 5 starts, right?
6 starts.
Okay.
That's a third of the season. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and you gave up all that for him, and you went 7-10. in your defense.
I just think when you say that, you're connecting the other stuff when you say that.
But he's year three, and your defense, which he's responsible for, was terrible. You know, like, year three is kind of the move year, and they were in a worse position in year three than they were in their first year. So that doesn't reflect great.
Yeah, but
I agree, when you look at the move, it looks a little better. Elijah Moore, I like.
The Watson stuff was deplorable, the way it all played out, but his year three is different than other year threes because the centerpiece of the organization, whether you like it or not, that they traded for was suspended for most of the season. So it made his year three kind of like almost hitting pause on it and be like, my real year three, quote unquote, is when Watson is my week one starter. And I think, like with the guy a little bit above him, Joe Douglas, like, yeah, Deshaun Watson has to play well, and they need to be a team this year, or that ownership, like in New York, is a little temperamental. Everybody might be out of that building as well if Watson falls on his face this year. A lot of pressure.
I agree.
A lot of pressure. Terry Fontenot from Atlanta at 20.
Kind of like what he's done. He didn't really have a choice to do much the first 2 years. Quarterback, I don't love, but.
These are the guys just like, it's kind of like, meh. It's hard to have a hard take. Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew of Washington at 21. Scott Fitterer, Carolina, rounds out the list. And these guys not.
Casario and George Payton are second to last and last.
Oh, officially. Okay. I missed that. All right. Nick Casario, 23. George Payton,
I mean, you just get buried for Russell Wilson. Sorry.
And now, like, when you do this list next year, it's going to be George Payton / Sean Payton.
It might just be Sean Payton. I don't even know. But, yeah, you got to give George the credit. I don't know if George will be there next year. We'll see.
Too early to rank Trent Baalke, Rand Carthon, Omar Khan, Kwesi Adolfo, Mensah, Monte Austin-Fort. Can I hear, you didn't get to hear this. I love Jonathan Gannon's on Aussie, like wondering what they're going to do with the third pick. I just want to hear this again. I'm into this Jonathan Gannon era.
Every day I ask Monty, I'm like, Monty, what you doing with that pick? What you doing with that pick? He's like, you know what I'm doing with that pick. I don't know what you're doing with that pick.
What? Where is that from? Is that an NFL Network one? That's good.
Yeah, at the owners' meetings. It's awesome.
That's funny. Ryan Poles, Joe Shane, and Dave Ziegler.
Yeah, like it's less about the ranking, more, you know, check out the analysis. Way too much. 4,000 words. Too many words.
NFL.com/Rosenthal. Good work, Greggy. Okay. Anything else?
I think we've done it. We're back to 3 shows a week next week.
Yes, and then the week after that is the draft, which will the coverage will be. We're gonna do something a little different with the draft this year. We're gonna share details of that next week. We can't have the conversation without Mark.
I don't even know the details, so I'm looking forward to that.
This is unbelievable.
Greg's been out. He doesn't even know.
Where was Greg? He was in Hawaii. It's the new Greg. This Greg was very similar to the old Greg, I gotta say. That's not a takedown. It's just like felt very after. Other than the first 34 seconds when you were saying that it was going to be a new Greg, this felt like the same Greg.
Well, maybe on air, you know, I'm not going to change who I am. But hopefully in my
it's more
personal
like a
life. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I treat people.
All right. Did you find like an ancient medallion or something in Hawaii? I feel like there's something about that trip that changed you.
Yeah, I think it was cranking through Love is Blind season 4 and just seeing what matters in life, you know.
I hear you on that. All right, that's it. That is it. Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch.
Got it. That's my big takeaway from today's episode. Till next week,
lead the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring,
your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.